Great content, rich, positive music from the Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com. To all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
Hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going.
Good evening to our listeners. Thank you for tuning in. This is Eben here with Pastor Billy, and we are going to continue what we've been discussing the last many weeks, I'll say it. And I believe a number of parents have really been blessed by the things we've been talking about and the parenting issues and the challenges that we are confronted by in this generation is something else. But first, let me get into some of the news, and then we'll continue to our main discussion. Interestingly, I like the way that the issue of discipline is coming up in the news in recent times. I think the awareness is becoming a bit more serious. People are seeing that we just can't allow some teenagers to run the show in our schools, and it's very unfortunate. But it's not a dead end case. There's something that can be done about it. All right, so this news item says pastor tortured and jailed in Kyrgyzstan, and authorities confiscate 50 Bibles. You know, those stand places, those countries, I mean, basically they are all Muslim countries. And so freedom of Christianity is highly, highly limited. Persecution is rife at such places. So a pastor in Kyrgyzstan facing possible conviction for the trumped up charge of inciting enmity was struck with an iron pipe, kicked and sustained blows to his head and chest after his arrest, according to Rise Group Forum 18. The torture failed in an attempt to draw a false confession from Reverend Pavel Shirda, a 65-year-old pastor of True and Free Reform Seventh-day Adventist Church, who remains jailed in pretrial detention at an interior ministry investigation prison in the capital city of Bishkek, according to the report. And they try to get his members to say false things, false reports about the pastor, but they failed and all that. But well, let's keep praying for such persecuted people. Then the next one says, judge blocks New York from forcing Christian photographer to work same-sex weddings. So a federal judge has blocked New York from enforcing laws that could require a Christian photographer to work same-sex weddings, despite her deeply held beliefs that marriage is a union between one man and one woman. In a decision published on Thursday, Judge Frank Gerasi of the U.S. District Court for the Western District of New York sided with photographer Emily Carpenter in her years-long battle. She seeks to ensure she won't have to take actions that violate her deeply held religious beliefs as a condition of conducting business in New York. From start to finish, plaintiff provides a customized, tailored photography service that is guided by her own artistic and moral judgment, he wrote. So this is good news for spiritual freedom and liberty. And it's serious. I mean, this issue of this LGBT wedding and party issues and all that. There was one case I read here some years back in which the people drove past over 130 something bakeries to go to a Christian bakery to order for a wedding cake, for an LGBT wedding. So clearly consider this is well calculated, intentionally coming to trap you, to make a case, sue you, make money off you. Abuse of religious freedom and all that. It doesn't make sense. So over 100 bakeries that you passed, some are actually LGBT bakeries. Well known branded LGBT bakeries. You didn't go there intentionally. So no, the Bible says that you persecuted for my name's sake. This is clearly an abuse of, it's like they are intentionally coming to trap you, then they make a case out of it. Then we go to France, where France is now a dead case. France seeing rise in Christian attacks amid warnings of Christian phobia. A growing number of attacks targeting churches and clergy across France have raised concerns over what some advocates are calling a surge in Christianophobia, as incidents reported in recent weeks include physical assaults, threats of arson, and desecration of churches, and mostly teenagers to early 20s youths, and most of them, they are virtually all of them there's migrants, or they've been born there, African, Northern African, Arab, Muslims who have become citizens there, and now they've taken over the country. France issue is very, very, if you look at the way Europe is falling to Islam, it's amazing. You have instances where there are parts of some countries in Europe now where the police dare not go there. they've just left it. They just can't go there. They've taken over the place and they do what they want. There are places where they run their own Sharia systems there alongside the normal, traditional, judicial system. And the lawlessness, the police just can't contain it. Last week or last 2 weeks, a number of the European countries are signing a document to the EU that they want their freedom to be able to deport some of these people from their country, because they've come into the country as immigrants. They are not ready to assimilate. They are not ready to learn the culture. They are not ready to whatever. And they are also criminals, crime all over. And the EU laws is forbidding them from deporting them. So it's like now they've bitten more than they can chew. And the people are now running the show lawless. They won't, abide by the cultural values. So some have regretted, some of the EU countries have regretted for this whole open border system. But it's too late now. But it was a plan thing. This whole open border thing, that was the scheme to allow Islam to spread into Europe. And it has worked. It has worked perfectly to the way they planned it. So now Christianity is really an issue now, because you have places where churches are closing. And the saddest part is there are churches that are being turned into mosques. That's the saddest part of it. So, Europe, they need prayers. All right, then a good one at least. Texas House passes bill requiring 10 commandments in classrooms. And the governor is expected to sign, Cohida, who signed it, is a Christian who understands the values. Lawmakers in Texas have passed a bill that, if signed, by the governor, would mandate the display of 10 commandments in every public school classroom. The Texas House of Representatives advanced the bill, Senate Bill 10, with an 82-46 vote. The legislation returns to the Senate for further consideration before reaching Governor Greg Abbott's desk. And this requires the schools to display 16-by-20-inch poster or framed copy of the Ten Commandments in a conspicuous location in each classroom, with text legible to anyone with average vision. That's a very good thing. I mean, and you take the Bible and pray out of the classrooms. I mean, that's the effect of what they have now. But at least bringing back the Bible is a good thing to do. All right, then this one from City News. The headline is Parental Conduct Fueling Indiscipline in SHS's Education Advisor. Senior Education Advisor at Africa Education Watch, Dr. Peter Atifua, has attributed the growing wave of indiscipline among senior high school students to the conduct of some parents. I agree. Dr. Atifua made these remarks during an interview on Channel One's TV Breakfast Daily on Friday, May 30th, that's yesterday. The discussion focused on the troubling rise in student misconduct and the urgent need to restore discipline in schools. According to him, students often reflect behaviors they observe at home, making parental influence a critical factor in shaping attitudes. Parents in their homes must speak to their wards and demonstrate discipline themselves. They must refrain from insulting others in front of their children. The act is horrible. Most children learn their attitudes from home, he said. Dr. Atifua's remarks come amid rising wave of indiscipline reported in several high schools across the country, including incidents of vandalism, truancy, and student unrest that have disrupted academic activities in recent weeks. He warned that when parents engage in verbal abuse or exhibit disrespectful behavior in front of their children, it sets the negative example that students are likely to replicate in school and social settings. Dr. Atifua emphasized the foundational role of the home is the child's development. So in a child development, we are urging parents to conduct themselves properly in the presence of their children, he stressed. The EduWatch advisor called for a collective effort from parents, teachers, and school administrators to address the indiscipline or to address the discipline gap, noting that instilling strong values at home remains the first step towards behavioral change in schools. Your comment on this?
Well, you see, the upbringing of a child depends on the parents. That's the number one.
Yeah.
It also depends on the environment. When I talk about environment, I mean the where the child grows up, the area. School is also a factor because the child interacts with a lot of people. So they somehow influence the or help in the formation of the child's character. But the main thing depends on the parent. What are the things that parents do in the house? How do they want to see this child? How are they bringing up this child? And since Ghana, we claim that a lot of us are Christian. If a lot of us are Christian, majority of us are Christian, and even if it's a Muslim, you know, do we have time? Because going, I'm sure a lot of parents have enough to eat till they die. So going there, going up and down, we do it because of our children. Now you go out there, make money, try to raise up this child, and at the end of the day, you lose the child. Then what
shall they profit a man?
Yes. I last night I was watching something on TV, I think TV3. They were showing people who are into drugs. and people were sharing their stories.
The red documentary.
The red thing. And then there was another documentary to one of the stations also showing. And it is, if you listen to them, a lot of them as a result of broken homes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of them single parents.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that bring about. But I think that this goes to those of us who are married and those who are yet to marry. You see, God in his own wisdom knows the importance of bringing a man and a woman to live together,
mm-hmm.
to give birth and to raise a child together. If we do not do this, then there will be a deficiency,
mm-hmm.
in the upbringing of the child. And if this happens, it means that the society is going to suffer. Now, how are we bringing up the children? As Christians, do we have time to study the word of God with them? Do we have time to pray with them? Because the Bible says, train up the child in the way so that when the child grows up,
you're not depressed.
How are you training this child?
Yeah.
Was it last year and this year, that some celebrities said that if you're a teacher, you dare not touch my child. And people were insulting them to say that, okay, if you don't want any teacher to do that, why don't you teach your child? So if a parent has this mentality, now if the child goes out there, goes out and the child is misbehaving.
Nobody. Oh yeah.
Yes. So I listened to, as I was reading comments, and some teachers were passing comments. They said, "Do I even care? At the end of the day,
they'll pay me."
So yeah,
that's what is happening.
If their child is killing somebody, I'll pretend as if
I've not seen. Yeah.
And I'll allow this child to. If we live in a society where parents are saying this, and teachers are also, because of what the parents are saying, teachers are also reacting they are reacting, and then where are we going? Today, you think that this is my child, and I think that this is how I want to raise up my child. Remember, the child lives in the society.
The consequences will eventually backlash in the society.
The issues that happen in one of the schools where the child has lost, or a student has lost the eye.
Yeah.
So if you are a parent and you say that, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't care, it's just like accident. You see,
yeah.
You may be a very good driver.
You don't plan.
Yes, but yeah. Somebody
is carelessness. Yeah,
good. So the responsibility is on all of us to do what we are supposed to do, and you don't say, mm-hmm. that this is the way I want to raise up my child. No, the child lives in a society,
yeah.
And because the child lives in a society, therefore it also behoves on you as a parent to also raise a child to be responsible, because the child lives in a society.
I want us to listen to, you know, last week I made mention of the Archbishop Duncan Williams file that I said I'll play this week. So let me play it.
6:12 is what governs the nations of the world. All these people you hear, president, minister, honorable excellency, they are not in charge of this world. They are not in charge. It's Ephesians 6:12 that controls this world. And to be successful, to fulfill your mandate, you must understand how Ephesians 6:12 operates. They work through other human beings. They operate through people who have access to you. What do you do when the enemy attaches an enemy? When the enemy attaches a demon to a loved one of yours? What do you do? It's easy to fight an enemy out there. But how do you navigate? And how do you deal with a loved one when the enemy attaches a demon to a loved one? When the enemy attaches what you hate into what you love, how do you deal with that? We are in a state of emergency. We can't pray as usual anymore. Can't fast as usual anymore. The times have changed. times have changed. What we are used to and what used to work before don't work anymore, because the adversary knows that he has a short time, and time is of the essence, and he's throwing everything at you and I. And until we realize that the times have changed and what used to work before doesn't work anymore, we are in trouble. And I pray, and sometimes I worry for my children and my grandchildren. I was telling one of my son-in-law, I said, son, you need to train these daughters of yours to be warriors. And until you train them to become warriors, you have failed as a father. And that is the mistake we are all doing, thinking that education is everything. We train them, give them good education, and we are proud of our children graduating for the best of schools, having all these educational certificates, but they lack, they are bankrupt, they are spiritually bankrupt. Bankruptcy in the knowledge of Adonai, have no understanding of Ephesians 6:12. They have no understanding of the forces that controls and govern this world. And we think we've done a good job. What good job have you done? You give them education, you think that is it. You are joking. You are a failure the day you die. And everything you've worked for, like Solomon said, look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 18 and 19. Like Solomon said,
yea, I hated all my labor which I had taken under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me.
You will leave it. All this wealth you are creating, you will leave it one day.
And who knoweth whether he shall be a wise man or a fool?
He said, I don't know whether the one that comes after me shall be wise or fools. And whether they will be wise or fools has everything to do with how we have trained and groomed them. And we are raising parasites and not warriors.
Yet shall he have rule over all my labor wherein I have labored, and wherein I have showed myself wise under the sun.
Wise.
This,
not smart, not intelligent, but wise. Why?
This is also vanity.
You see, it's vanity. And it's exactly what happened. The guy that inherited Solomon was a fool. He wasn't a warrior. Listen to what the Sheikh of Dubai said recently. I have a lot of respect for this guy. He said something that I can't shake off my mind. I keep thinking about the sayings of the Sheikh of Dubai. Listen to what he said.
The founder of Dubai, Sheikh Rashid, was asked about the future of his country, and he replied, my grandfather rode a camel, my father rode a camel, I ride a Mercedes, my son rides a Land Rover, and my grandson is going to ride a Land Rover, but my great-grandson is going to have to ride a camel again. Why is that? He was asked. And his reply was, hard times create strong men.
Listen, the difficulties you and I had in our upbringing, the sufferings we encountered, the tough times we had, has made of us the kind of materials we are. We are survivors. I am a survivor. Mosulu kutund kelang kewuns solanda kafahasan. I am a survivor. I am a survivor because I've come from the backside of the desert. I wasn't raised in the palace of kings, princes, and princesses. I was raised at the backside of the desert. I was raised at Dondoli, Wapani, Jejereiri, Tinonsolko, Bolgatanga, and Zwarungu, where you'll be passing and a tree will call your name. A tree call your name and say, how are you today? You are looking at me. That's why you have no respect for spirituality, because you haven't seen anything. I was raised in an area where you'll be passing.
Okay, that's ended. Yeah, I mean, you can listen to the full message. The Enemy Within is on YouTube. It's a very good message. Yeah. Okay. All right. It's a very serious thing he's talking about. this generation and the children that are coming up is serious. Because, you see, this is a hard truth most parents don't want to hear. But this time is set as it is. I mean, it's about the good upbringing, the money, good education, everything that they need, you know. So I've heard of instances, you know, parents who buy TVs to put in the children's rooms and all that. And these same things that they are buying for them are the things that are also destroying the children. Mm. So then you ask yourself, is it good to be that rich then to the point where you can afford to buy these same destructive things and put it in their hands? Just like you, I mean, recently I saw a little girl, I mean, this girl, no more than 8 years, going to school, and she was holding a tablet, going to school, and I looked at the girl, I was just telling myself, okay, there are two options. Either she has, I mean, sneaked out of it, I mean, of home secretly, and the parents didn't know, or the parents know, because there are also parents who know, and they don't care. They don't, well, it's like, they don't see it as anything. And this child, this girl was going to school, school bag behind her, holding the tablet, playing with it, and walking on the street. And I was worried, because look at even the dangers, I mean, the concentration of a child walking by the wayside, looking at a tablet and playing and walking by the wayside and roadside and all that. I mean, so you ask yourself, if the parents are aware, why are they doing such a thing? If they are not also aware, where are the freedoms? What are the rules regarding the devices? You know, we've been talking about these things on digital parenting, on issues a number of times and all that. You see, so virtually, we have instances where the blessings that parents are getting is becoming the doom of their children.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's a very serious issue.
You know, in my church, the kids started bringing tablets.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of, we have a Bible, we have the Bible, and mm-hmm. they say, so, you
know, I said, no.
This is not the way we are brought up.
Oh, yeah.
So you're supposed to come with your Bible.
Yeah.
And you read when they come. For instance, if you are going, they are going to maybe the lesson, if the lesson is maybe John, Matthew, or any of them, a child will read just a verse. Yeah. And then another person will also continue. And the other person also. Yeah. So prior to that week, you'll be told that you are going to read this.
Yeah.
So when they come, you read and the other person reads. And when they start coming with their Bibles, they'll be used to.
Yeah.
In fact, it wasn't easy for some of them. It wasn't easy for some of them, but we insisted. And today, nobody brings tablets. Say, bring your Bible to church.
That's how it should be.
And it's really helping them. It's really helping them. But we hide behind, we have the Bible on it, so they will be playing games.
It will be distracting. You see, it's a double problem. One, the child, he or she holding the tablets, is even a thing with it's going to distract him or her, if because using the tablet to read the Bible, there will be some pop-ups. Some, you know, a child, even adults are struggling with self-control regarding devices. How much more a child, a toddler? So you've seen the Bible, you are holding, you've opened the Bible, then you see a cartoon character, something on the, and the temptation is so great for a child. And then that's one. Then two, it's also a distraction to others who are not having the tablet.
Yeah.
The concentration. So imagine children, we are reading it from the Bible. One is holding the Bible, the neighbor is holding a tablet. You know, the one holding the Bible will be eyeing the one holding the tablet. You know, because it's naturally attractive. It's like a child and a toy type of thing. It's a great temptation for the one who is not having, is being tempted to look at the one who has. Mm. And it comes with its incessant issues of, you know, hidden pride, I have, you don't have, all these issues arise. Yes. So, you see, some parents don't appreciate some of these things when you warn about it. But it's very subtle. Very, very subtle. You know, so some children will want to even just bring it to show off.
Sure.
Yes, I have a tablet. You don't have some. Some will even just openly say, children with no children. We've been children before and all that. But you see, it's time. Some, if you don't control and nurture them well, then they will be growing up. That then becomes a challenge as they grow up and all that. You see, the truth is, we are confronted as a generation. I like what Archbishop said in the sense that we are at a very critical point in this world. Extremely critical. A whole lot of things are converging at the same time, but most don't really understand it, or they don't see the severity of it. But a lot is happening. Maybe in Ghana we may not be appreciating some of these things so well, but for those in the West, they are really seeing it. Head on. But even here, the wind is blowing alongside. We are feeling some of these things in the sense that, you know, the cultural values being undermined in the sense that, advancement. So the things that we are seeing it in the West is happening here. A child do not respect an adult. Walk past an adult without greeting. A child will not move out of the way when an adult is coming. I've seen instances where a child is standing at a door, a teacher is coming, and will not move to the. It's like as if move through me or push me to before you can move. Like, no respect. You see, this is very common in the West. Advanced countries, so-called advanced countries. Advanced in technology, but not advanced in morals. But it's happening here, it's crept here gradually, and because they watch the same, these school movies where you see this disobedience and stubbornness and witchcraft and the same things that they watch, these Disney stories that portray all these, and all these other movies. Our children are also watching them here. They are watching the same things here. So, there are some movies, these high school movies, where the open witchcraft is in there. So, you have a child, maybe a teenager, somebody does something, and then will just point their hand, and then like magic, because the person will move, this witchcraft power, showing off power spiritually and all. And the offshoot is some of the things we are seeing with this occultism. The quest for power. The quest for power. So it's like, I need power to punish these people. I need to show them that I'm powerful. What do I need to do? As we've been discussing earlier and all that, go sleep in the cemetery, do this, do that, and then get the power. They don't mind doing it because they see it as like exhibition of power, and it's nice. You can cause someone to break their leg. And it happened. I know of a case here in Kumasi. A boy went to school, and somebody caused his leg to break just like that, because like show of power. So it's a reality.
It's happening. It's happening.
Serious. Parents, we need to wake up. Parents need to wake up because the times have changed. Perhaps you may not be seeing it, but the times have changed. Continue.
Like we're saying, this is a time that parents really, really, really need to. I remember when we were growing up, where we used to live, if you go out there and misbehave, somebody will punish you, and your mother will go and thank the person for punishing you. And this has brought us to where we are. We've gone through. We didn't die. You see, we didn't die. And some of them had money, but they realized that they live in a society. They realized that we have our culture.
Yeah.
So did they allow their money to influence Anything that they were doing to make sure that their children are trained very well. But those who ignore all these things, now look at Kumasi, the big names that we used to have, the houses we have, I don't want to mention names, I'm being very careful. Now look at their children. If you see a lot of them, most of them, you see them today and you ask why, what happened? Because their parents had money, and today you see them, and some of them are drug addicts, some of them are smokers, some of them are drunkards. You see them around. I don't want to mention names. But the poor people who didn't have much, or those who were also rich, but they didn't allow the money to influence the upbringing of their children. Today you see them and their children are somewhere. I mean, they are grown up and they are. So I think that we shouldn't allow the Western culture. Now, I was watching it was a news item. One of the European countries, now restriction of cakes, the children from these
devices. Yeah, they are going back to the books.
Yes.
I mean, I think Sweden is going back.
They are doing that. Yeah. And another one, they also talking about morals.
Yeah.
Moral issue that their children are now, the way the case are now, you cannot even control them. If this thing goes on, it means that they will lose it. So what are they were discussing it. But we are also throwing it away. And that is the challenge that we have because we traveled abroad. Now, things that we are now importing, now they are trying to also throw those things away because it didn't help them.
Yeah.
And I'm surprised that people know what things that are happening there, which things that are not helping them. But we are still embracing it. We are still saying that, I mean, I have my money, I have my child, my own child, and I have the right to train the child the way I want to train my child.
No, it's for the individual part, that one is there. But at the national level, that is where I have a bigger problem. That as a whole nation, like Ghana, that we allow money from the West to undermine our morals and our cultural values. Because why would you sit down, the whites bring you money, stop punishment in your school, and bring in CSE, comprehensive sexuality education. For that one there, we really fought against it and it worked. But it's unfortunate that the punishment aspect and all those ones, it went under the radar quietly, and I mean, we missed it. Christian Council and all. So by the time we people realized it was already being implemented and all, and voices didn't really come up to challenge it and confront it and all, criticize and all. So it took effect, ran through the years, and now look at the consequence of that action. And you see, you think about it this way. The whites implemented the same things, and look at the moral systems broken down in their culture, in their values and societies. Then we sit down here, supposedly we having a better value system because of money. And we allow money to undermine us that. Sometimes, it beggars belief as to why we think money is everything. So, a whole GES system, whether it's at the education level or at the ministry level or the GES level, the system, they agreed to this foreign influence that, oh, okay, take this from your system, and we agreed. And now, look at the consequence. And you see, last week, after the program going, I was just thinking that. Is it not amazing that you have 13, 14, 15, 16-year-olds and look at the way they are whining? I was just thinking that it's like, so why would you hold the hands of those in authority and allow these toddlers in quotes, because they are children, to be whining this just like this? Why?
And how long has this policy been in existence? that we are paying the price for that.
But it came under, it came before the CSE. The CSE was before COVID. COVID was 2020.
COVID was 2020.
Yes. The CSE was around 2019. Just before COVID. I remember, I really spoke seriously on this program. So this whole punishment thing, it was about 6 years. Yeah, so six, about 7 years.
And now
it's about 7 years. Yeah.
We are paying the price for that.
Yes,
let's not even up to 10 years.
It's not up to 10 years. No, it happened on MPP. They accepted this thing. Let me explain how a value system evolves. There's a school I know of where when they started the school, the people they started with were from, excuse me, say like rural, untrained type of people. So they didn't have values. They were the ones they started the school with. And so no training. And when they started the school with them, unfortunately, the headmaster they started with too was not correct. So the whole system was free for all type of thing. So because the people they started with didn't have any training, any values, no proper upbringing, they started doing all sorts of bullying and all that. And it continued the next year, like to the first batch, the next. So it became a generational thing. The first years, so the next batch, they too, when they become seniors, they also want to replicate. Mm-hmm. Then the next, so it becomes a tradition because everybody wants to vent the anger off or the whatever happened to him.
Yeah, they also want to.
But you see, it gets worse over the years. But it should get to a point where it should end. If so, now they get a new leader who decides to act and is able to stop it and turn the tide, virtually stop it completely.
Mm.
So you see, it is possible to this whole thing you are talking about. Let GES lift the sanctions, give headmasters, tutors, wardens, whatever, the free hand. Bring strict policies. If you misbehave, you are suspended. If you are failing in school, you are demoted or repeated, you don't qualify for free SHS again, and all that. Within one academic year, the whole system will turn around.
There's a school here, and I think that school, they were mm-hmm. they used to call it abortion school.
Mm-hmm.
Girl school.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't want to send their children to that school.
Yeah.
And that was the time they were moving from, the old system. Sixth form was dying off and they were. Now, this headmistress came in very straight.
No nonsense.
If you misbehave, she wouldn't go to the extent of slapping you. Within 1 year,
discipline restored.
Discipline. And the same school that people didn't want to send their children to, they started. Now people were struggling to
get
you
to
see. So we all want the good thing.
Yeah.
But we don't want to give free hand to people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you were saying, Ghana, we went for a loan and this is attached to the loan that you must do this and do that. Don't we think? And mm-hmm. we are doing this because of our own selfish mm-hmm. interest.
Yeah.
What is it that we don't have in Ghana?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we don't have in Ghana?
Yeah.
That we can be on our own. Just like look at Burkina. Mm-hmm. Look at what is happening. But you see, when someone is trying to, that's the problem with us. As let me talk about Ghana as mm-hmm. Ghanaian. If somebody is doing something good,
yeah,
and they say, "Oh, this person is doing very well," because he's not the one,
mm-hmm.
it means that no,
it's not good,
and that is the challenge that we have. And another person will also go for money and keep it.
Mm-hmm.
Then many people will suffer. And that's the challenge that we have. Because I'm sure, I know very well that when they were bringing the policy attached to this loan, and the loan, is all of us are paying for. You see, so it's not you alone. All of us, because you all owe. Yeah. If Ghana owes, it means that all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So don't we have...
So this is like selling your birthright. We go for money and sell our discipline and morals and cultural values.
Is that how you were raised?
And how much, I mean, is it worth it? How much is it that we'll be ready to sacrifice our children for this?
So you ask yourself, and I think that sometimes you can't blame them, but I think they can also be blamed, because teachers you went through, those who made that, who accepted that policy and started implementing the policy, is that how you were trained?
That's I mean,
is that how you were trained? See, where were the Christians among them?
No, you see, this is
where were the Muslims among them and said that this is not our moral, this is not our culture, this is not our value, so we are not accepting it. Where were the Muslims? Where were the Christians? So couldn't they stand up and say that no, we are not going to allow this?
Money, but the politicians are going.
Why? How many are they? The politicians. How many are they?
But this is where the issue is. You see, this is where I did the comparison with the CSE, the Comprehensive Sexuality Education. Because we made noise, and you know, a whole lot of campaign went on, radio talked and made noise and all that, they back down. Even though they've taken that one too, they've taken the millions, printed the books, the books they couldn't use because the pressure was too much, so they couldn't use the books. Had we made noise, had the church, I mean GPCC, Bishops Council, Bishops Conference and all these various groupings, as the way we made noise with the CSE, had we made that same noise with that policy as well, I believe it would have worked.
Yes.
But you see, strangely, it that one was a bit, you know, because it's not like a textbook type of thing where we all got to know that this is coming up. Because that one was more of a policy that was a bit, so unless you hear from a teacher who says their hands are tied or something, you would think, you didn't know something is happening in our schools. So that's why it went under the radar a bit. And by the time you realize, it had already been implemented fully and it's taking roots.
I can say that we knew, but the church didn't do anything about it.
Okay, no, I didn't know. If I had known it, for instance, I mean, if I know how that was spoken about it, that's why I said, then those who knew it failed us. Those who had voices and knew it, they failed us then.
Because whatever policy they are bringing, assuming they are bringing a policy, and Christians say that we don't want this policy.
Yeah.
Let all churches, Catholic, Pentecostal, Charismatic, Orthodox, let's all say that we don't want this policy. And one Sunday, just one Sunday, let's all churches come together. It's not like all of us are coming to one place, but various churches, wherever you are, let's talk about it. Let's raise our voices and say that we don't want this thing. The politicians are our church members. So if even before we even start demonstrating against, they will hear. They are in our communities.
They
live in a community where there are chiefs. So if the chiefs are talking about it, if the churches are talking about it, now the only hope for this nation is the church.
Yeah.
The only hope, because the politicians are doing what they are doing. And they think that they are doing it for us, but they are not doing it for us.
The church has the numbers.
The church has the numbers.
So they are really afraid of the church.
If they are bringing a policy, and let's say that all churches in Ashanti region, we are marching straight to regional coordinating council. All churches in Konongo, all churches in Accra,
they all go to MC, the DC's office.
They will really implement whatever policy
bringing? They won't.
So I think that it is high time the churches come together to really raise our voices against things that are not helping us. Because at the end of the day, they are bringing issues to us as as churches. If you're a pastor, now somebody is asking you, pray for my child, pray for this, pray for that. And you see, if you sit down, it will still come back to us. So we need not to allow the thing to happen before.
And then, but the bigger issue, if, let's say, the I mean, okay, let me use US for instance. We know the moral bankruptcy and all that. But I watched a news item, and that woman, that woman is great. A mother, there was a riot, and the mother was watching the news and saw someone who has put a hood, you know, as part of the riot, protesters and all that. But the mother was able to identify that, no, this is my son. So when the boy came home, the mother held the boy and took the boy to the police station to report that this boy was part of. So it became a news item, and I was amazed at wow, because, and the mother said, the way I'm bringing up my boys, this is not how he's been brought up. He's been influenced wrongly by some friends, but he's not going to allow. So he wants discipline to persist or prevail in the home. You see, so in as much as you have a broken society, you still have parents who are standing by the morals and doing what is right. You see, so the call for parenting, or parents to wake up from their slumber, laziness, and lackadaisical attitude and all that, until if the government doesn't correct, or till the government's policy brings sanity into the senior high schools, as a parent, what role are you playing? What are you doing about it?
Recently, I met one of my Sunday school, I mean, he's old now. And then I was asking about one of their peers. They have a band. They go to Europe and other places. And I was asking, and he was telling me that of late he has not been coming to church. Their band leader has not been coming to church. Because now he goes outside, so he has not been. But you know, there's this thing about this guy. When he comes to church, he can play all the instruments and sings as well. He's very, very good. Now, anytime, I'm no more with that church. But when I was there, anytime I was going to church, and the guy is there, I can really feel it before I even get there.
Yeah.
You can see that everything changes. So when they told me that now, for he traveled and came back, and they were telling me that the guy has come back for about a month now, it hasn't come to church. So I have his number. And I called him. I said, I was talking with him, how are you? And we talked. I said, I heard that you've not been coming to church. What is happening? Then I'm sorry. Because you've said it, I'll go to church. The following week, I asked.
He went.
He went to church.
Yeah.
I'm saying this, but that's the point, that the church has a role. Because there are people who, even if there are women who don't respect their husbands, but they respect
their pastors. It's true.
You see? And there are people who have no respect for other people. But when a Sunday school teacher calls this child listen. So it comes back to the point that the church has responsibility. Because when we speak, people listen. When we speak, the nation listen. But we have kept quiet for too long. I'm sure that if we begin to raise our voices against some of these things, some parents will sit up. When I was very active as a Sunday school teacher, there were days that, I mean, for a month, I would decide to go to their houses, visit the kids and ask them what is happening, how they, and they tell he is this and that and that and that and that and that, and then they will tell you. So Sunday, when the child comes to church, they say, you heard the report, you are disgracing me,
you can't do this. And the child will tell you, I won't do that again.
Yeah.
And then the parents will, you are there and they'll call you, ah, what did you do that has changed?
Changed, yeah.
You understand? This to say that if we as a church, if we begin to do what we are supposed to do, I believe that there can be a change.
Oh yeah.
And as parents, we also have responsibility that we are raising them. Now, if you are a Christian, you also have responsibility, because at the end of the day, you are the one that God entrusted you with this child. So what are you doing? You can be very prayerful. You go to church every day. Do whatever you can do in church. But remember that God also entrusted you with something. And that thing is a child that he gave to you to raise that child, so that the child will also continue the good thing that God placed in you. But today, if you are going home, if God is calling you, how are you going to see your child in the future?
No, the Archbishop, what he ended with, that if you are not careful, the day you die, that's the you are failed. You died in failure.
It's just like business. A lot of people, as soon as they die, their business also
no succession.
So, if you die today, how would your child live? How would he be? Are you raising the child to be responsible that one day you look at the child and say, yes, I did my part?
Yeah.
Can you be proud of this child? And that is what we are failing to do.
It's very sad, but I think there is a clarion call for parents, to all of us, to wake up, because the way the world is going, we just can't play as if business as usual. You know, clearly, no. I mean, the fundamentals need to be strengthened, because they should get the foundation of Christ in them, because else, so you see, it's so worrying when some people, as soon as they leave the shores of this country, they backslide.
You know, recently they started a banning of
drumming in Accra. Yeah.
So if Gamanche, if the chiefs in Ga, if they say that, you know, this is our community, the schools were built by us.
Yeah.
So we are insisting that if a child misbehave, you should cane that child.
It will prevail.
Now, if they begin prevail. To do this,
yeah, they are going to prevail.
It's, World Bank, come and arrest all of us.
No, you see, so you see, this is, so I think
if a Catholic bishop says that in our institution, and I think that. Some schools are implementing it. I mean, they are not allowing those things to be implemented. Because there are some Catholic schools that I know, the discipline, you dare not. And so I think that the churches should also say that we are not allowing this thing, SDA, we are not allowing this thing to happen in our school. This is our school. The schools were not built by somebody. We built the schools. We are the founders. So this is what we want to implement.
Yeah, I really think, well, now that I think the president made a statement. I saw a headline, but I didn't watch it. But looks like he's made a statement in that regard about the discipline issue. They have to look at it. So, well, as parents, let's do what we have to do. Pastors, deacons, Sunday school, church leaders listening. Let's see how best we can do something to save the situation. This is Eben, the program Issues of Life. I had with me Pastor Billy Bonsu. Is it Reverend or Pastor?
It's a Reverend.
Reverend Billy Bonsu. Thank you for joining us this evening as the listener there. Greetings to our listeners wherever they are in the world. And so, God willing, next week you'll be coming your way. This is recorded to be uploaded to spiritissues.info and to the Telegram group as well. Good night and God bless you.
Great content, rich, positive music from the